morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55, 58 minutes today. This is kind of an exciting show for me today. I'm interviewing a potential new clerk for the Superior Court. And her name is Lisa Denault Vialli. And she, that's her there. She's the one with hair. she works for the court now. And at first, Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Bill?
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I'm pretty good. But what I would like to start off with, if you don't mind, I ran into this once before with the city clerk. A person was going to run for the city clerk's job, thinking it was nothing but filing and stuff. And same in the Berkshire Superior Court. Your job is much more than that. But I would like you to start with your background and your credentials, and then we'll talk about the job. So if you introduce yourself to my listening and viewing audience.
Sure, Bill. So my name's Lisa Denault Vialli, and I have been in the trial court since 2001. So this will be, I'm going to be going on my 24th year in March. Yes.
Good.
I don't look that old, do I?
No, you don't. No.
And I started off in the trial court in the juvenile court, the Berkshire Juvenile Court in Pittsfield and North Adams. And I would do the satellite office in Great Barrington as well. But I started off as an associate probation officer. I was able to move up to a probation officer. I went to the North Adams District Court where I was a probation officer there for about 7 years. And then from there, I went to the Berkshire Superior Court, supervising Superior Court probationers. And I was there for about another 7 years before I was appointed to the assistant clerk here at the Berkshire Superior Court.
Cool.
So I have kind of run up the ranks, and really, I'm so grateful because I've been able to work in such a variety of different courts. So I've seen the juvenile court, the district court, the superior court, not only both aspects, though, is the probation department and the clerk's office. So I really have been very, very fortunate to have such experience in the court system.
And when you were in, was Clifford Nyland the head guy there at the time?
He was the Superior Court Chief Probation Officer there. I worked under him. When I was in the North Adams District Court, I worked under Michael Urquhart. He was the chief there, phenomenal man, and just such great guy. I mean, and the stuff I learned there was just unbelievable. I mean, he had been around for a long time, so he had some tremendous knowledge as well, as well as Cliff Nyland. And then before that, it was Bill Gale in the juvenile court. He was my chief there, and he was wonderful as well. So I was very fortunate to have some great mentors. So
absolutely. Clifford Nyland and I went from North Junior High through life together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know I look a lot younger than he does, because he has that gray hair. But yes, I consider Clifford Nyland one of my very best and closest friends.
Oh, that's great.
But I also had great respect for him because of the way he ran his. I was used to be a cop, so I had a lot of interaction with Cliff, and the way he was such a professional.
Oh, that's great. That's great. He was a great chief. And like I said, I was very fortunate to have such great mentors that were around for so long that had the knowledge.
And for the listeners and viewers, what she just outlined is kind of a wide berth of the systems within the justice system, the judicial system in Berkshire County. So she is well-rounded with that. How about your educational background?
So I had gotten my associate's degree from Berkshire Community College. It was great college, college. I got my associate's degree in criminal justice. That was early on. And then at that time, I was doing an internship at the Pittsfield Police Department. They hired me after my internship on a grant position, and I worked in the Detective Bureau. And then shortly for the chief's office, I was part of when they first started the sex offender registry system.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
So I was assisting the detectives in the Detective Bureau about how we were going to do this. And it was the old style way when computers weren't like we have computers now. So we would put pins on a board to show where the person was, so that if someone wanted to come up to see that area, they could come up to the Detective Bureau and see the area of where a sex offender was. So that was kind of interesting to see how that has all evolved. And then after that, I was hired in the mayor's office under Gerald Doyle. He was the mayor at the time, and he gave me a chance at 22 years old to see if I could do it. And I did it. And I worked in his office for 3 years. And that was a phenomenal experience as well. And I learned a lot from that man. Very smart, very, very smart. And he definitely knew how to get things done and work with people.
Yeah.
And I learned that that's really what you have to do in life. You have to compromise and you have to get things done and do what you need to do to get those things. So very fortunate for that. While I was in the mayor's office, I went to Mass College of Liberal Arts at that time. And I did my bachelor's degree in sociology. So I finished that. Then I decided that that was not my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal has always been, since I was a kid, was to go to law school.
Oh, wow.
So when I was in the mayor's office, I had started to look at going into law school, and I was just about graduating from my bachelor's. So I decided, okay, I can do this. So I went to Western New England. I got into Western New England when I was working at the juvenile court. I had just started there, and I would do the night program. It was 4 years. It was about 3 days a week. You would leave after work, get down to Springfield, get home about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Set your alarm for 3 a.m. to try to study a little before you went to work the next day. But it was doable, and I did it, and it was great. It was great. And I say that it was a great experience because it definitely showed me that I can do whatever I need to do, and I can work, you know, as long as you work hard and you want what you want, you can do it. And at that time I was working at Sears too, if we remember the old Sears. I had worked there since I was a kid. So, I had always worked a second job because you need money for gas, you need money for books, you need money for tuition. So,
very good.
Yeah. So I worked at Sears for, oh God, about probably 15 years part-time. So that was, my go-to, but I loved Sears. It was a great little job there too.
It was a great store. I missed the all their washers and dryers and all that stuff too. Kenmore.
Oh, yes.
So, folks, if you're listening, what you just is this young lady's, and she is young compared to me. Everybody's young, but she is a young lady with a wonderful background for this job, and you know, I don't tell you who to vote for. You have to get out and vote on November 5th. I mean, there's the bottom line. You have to get out and vote. Right now, unless there's, I don't know how many, you know the law about that, how many write-in votes, she's running unopposed. And I was having this conversation with somebody the other day and said, well, why are you going to have her on? She's running unopposed. Well, I think people need to learn about all our agencies and all our what people do. As I said, I had a person who was going to run against a city clerk because it's just a clerk's job, you know. And when I had the city clerk on and said, you know, responsible for the records of the city, the person decided not to run. Well, Lisa's running unopposed. And I still want people to understand the job, the person behind the job, and all that goes into it, because the justice system now is under somewhat of an attack from outside, from people who don't understand what it does. So, and I familiar with this system. My cousin, God rest his soul, David McNeese, was assistant juvenile probation officer for a very long time. And a lot of my friends are in the system working, not the other system. Some of them are there too. But Lisa, what have you found through your career has changed the most since you first started?
Well, I think you can probably agree with me on this is crime, obviously. I mean, our office, we deal with criminal and civil. So we have a mixture. However, our criminal system has definitely changed. I mean, we've seen such a difference from what we had 20 years ago versus to what is now. You can see that walking around the streets of the towns and the cities now. It's very different and very unfortunate. But I think that we have a serious drug problem here. So that has been an issue. And of course, you know, along with that comes everything else. That comes the other crimes and the homelessness and the, never mind the drug addiction, but also the violent crimes, gun charges. So I think that things have definitely changed quite a bit. And that is an issue. But our court system is the one that keeps things flowing and getting people through the system, whether it be for punishment or if it's for rehabilitation. So we have a fabulous probation department. I'm not just saying that because I was there, but we do have a great probation department at the Superior Court, and they are aimed at helping people and at rehabilitation. So, and we don't have the caseload that the district courts have. So our probation officers have a little bit of a luxury to be able to spend a lot more time, and we have them for longer periods of time, which is huge. So we have been very fortunate in that aspect, but the times have changed. That's for sure.
They've changed. And I think, thank you for saying that. I have the district attorney on, the chief of police, It's kind of a, this doesn't make any sense, but it's a backwards evolution. We're going back to really violent crime that had disappeared for a very long time.
Yes.
So you started now, just give us a 30,000 foot overview of all that the clerk's office does, because it's a lot.
It is a lot. So our clerk's office, we handle, like I said, civil and criminal cases. So the civil cases are anything over $50,000 or more. So if someone is suing for $50,000 or more, that's where our office comes in. We also do foreclosures, some other declarative relief, but that is the majority. Then we have our criminal aspect of it. The criminal part of us is that we do not take in, like the district court, a complaint from, say, the police department. In order to get to us, there has to be an indictment or a waiver of an indictment by the defendant. So the grand jury, we have a grand jury that meets secretly. The grand jury will hear cases. And then once the grand jury decides whether the case goes forward or not, it goes to us. And then once we get that new indictment, we start the summonsing process where we get the defendant here, we do the arraignment, and then the case begins with us. And if the person was already charged in the district court and we now have jurisdiction, then the district court will dismiss their case.
Wow.
So that's kind of that in a nutshell. But we handle everything that it requires a state prison sentence. We do have other cases that don't require that, but for the majority, it comes to us when it could possibly end in a state prison sentence.
And there's a probation office situation there. If they get probation, could you give us a 30,000 foot view of what that means?
Yes. So sometimes when someone's arraigned, they may get pretrial probation, which means that they may be supervised while their case is pending. That happens sometimes, not all the time. So the probation officers would partake in that, in the supervision of that. Then, once the case is disposed, whether or not the person is going to be placed on probation, they could be just placed on probation. They could have a split sentence where they do some either house of correction or state prison time. And when they get out, they're going to be on probation as well. That's when our probation officer would take over and start to supervise the defendant for that period of time with whatever conditions that the judge decides to order.
And again, this is all part of the judicial system at the, I'm going to say, at a very high level. Not that the
Yes.
district court, because the district court is exactly what it mean what the title is. It's a district court. Could you just kind of help me out? Because I, you know me.
Yes. Yes. The district court, they handle more, I shouldn't, I don't want to say low level because
No.
some of these crimes are very serious, and but they handle more of the crimes that do not require state prison sentences. So it would be a, they could ultimately result in a house of correction sentence. They're handling the crimes that are not going to get to the superior court level. So, and a lot of times these individuals are in and out a little quicker than what our superior court probation entails. Sometimes when you're in superior court probation, you could get 3 years. I had supervised someone who had 10 years of
Wow.
probation.
Wow.
So we have in the superior court definitely
Yeah.
lengthier probationary times. But the district court, I give them all the credit because they have a lot of volume, especially in that Pittsfield district court. The volume is unbelievable there, and those probation officers work very hard. And they are constantly on a Monday morning. If you, I encourage people to go in on a Monday morning to just look at the hallway to see what they are dealing with, because it is busy. It is very busy. And I think that it's kind of a reality of when you get into that hallway to see what really is going around, and going on in this county, because there's a lot of things that are happening that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yeah, and that's excellent advice, by the way. That is excellent advice. We tend to think, and it is a bucolic, wonderful, beautiful place to live, but there's some nasty things going on, and there's some nasty people. Many of them, I've had the DA on, aren't from here. They're from Springfield or Holyoke or Albany, or Boston. I think what people, why I'm glad you decided to come on the show was because I want people to understand the job, the person that's going to, and let's give Miss Capeless.
Yes.
She's been there how many years now?
So she has been there for 50 years. This is her 50 year this year. It's really unbelievable. And again, talk
Yeah.
about being in the right place. I mean, I have just been able to work under people that have been around the system for so
Wonderful
long,
lady.
and to gain the information, just unbelievable.
She's a wonderful lady. I wish her the very best in her retirement. I'd love to interview her. You talk about change, 50 years. I mean, I don't want to admit this, but I can remember when she first got the job. I was in kindergarten, but not really. The Why did you want this job?
I wanted this job because I've been doing this job. So I'm not the clerk, but I am the assistant clerk, and I've been the assistant clerk. It'll be 7 years
Good.
coming up next year. So I have been doing the job, and I love this job. And I feel like now that I mean, I have my law degree. I'm licensed attorney. I'm licensed with the U.S. District Court. I feel like now I can
Wow.
actually put my education to real good use. It always came in handy, and it was always great. But boy, to be able to say that, I'm an attorney and now I'm the clerk with this education is it just that I feel like that makes me whole now. So, but I absolutely love my job. I love going into work every day.
Wow.
I love everything that I do. I love going into the courtroom. I love being able to help people. And I think that I'm definitely the perfect fit for it. I've been doing it, and I get along great with all the attorneys, I have to say. We have a great a bunch of attorneys that we're working with between the district attorney's office, the defense counsel, the bar, CPCS, the bar advocate's office, all the civil attorneys. I think our office has a great relationship with everyone, and I want to continue that, and I want to make sure that it stays that way.
It's very important piece, the relationship. Thinking back when I worked, the relationship with the clerk's office and the probation, there was a great network at the time, and I think Ms. Capeless and you will continue that networking, that the cross communication, because it only benefits us, the citizens.
Absolutely.
If the left hand's got some idea what the right hand's doing, unlike Washington, we are not going to go there. But we're gonna. What do you think, if you had to sit back and this is, and look at the future, what do you think some of the changes will be in the overall system? And let me throw this out there, for what it's worth, and I got to do this. You'll understand it's a legal thing. Views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way, represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti and the Mayor's Office, Peter White and the City Council, and or any new construction site that will open up on Monday morning. So just plan your route. Always leave early. I just what do you see could change better or worse in the judicial system?
Well, I think things are changing for the better as far as electronic wise. We now have e-filing in civil cases.
Wow.
I'm hoping eventually that we get that in the criminal part of it. That
Yeah.
would be great because it's just much easier for all the attorneys. For our office, either way, we're docketing, we're scanning papers, we're doing all that other stuff and making files. So it's not going to make too much of a difference for us, but it definitely will help the attorneys. And I'm hoping that
Yeah.
continues on to the criminal part of it. We have seen a lot of different things just with COVID. Zoom,
Yeah.
that has been really great.
Yeah.
We're able to have a civil, say, a civil pretrial conference or final pretrial conference, and we're able to do it by Zoom. So all the attorneys that are maybe coming from Boston or Worcester, they don't have to come all the way here for maybe a 5-minute hearing. They can do it all by Zoom. So Zoom has been phenomenal, and we're hoping to continue that. They haven't pulled it from us yet. They've let us continue to do that, so that's been great.
Yeah.
I can see eventually down the road probably fileless systems, because since everything is electronic and they are encouraging us to scan everything. So I don't know. It may not be in my lifetime, but I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I can too. One of the other things that were it's always bothered me with the current situation, and that is, it's not your responsibility, but I think it's something as if the new clerk, I think the court officer should be armed. That's just my personal opinion. I've been all over the world. And I, when I walk in there, I'm thinking, why aren't they armed?
That is an interesting question. And I think that has been debated for a long time,
Yes, I know.
but nothing has really come about it. Same thing with probation. Never really understood that. I remember many nights going with a parole officer on home visits up to, Florida Mountain and everywhere in the county, and the parole officer doing the same exact thing as I am, had his handcuffs, had his gun, and had his car with his cage in the back, and here I am with my notebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think and I interview excuse me, politicians, and I really think we've it's time because the world is goofy and we don't know. I mean, look at they burned down a federal courthouse in 2000 whatever in Portland, right? So they're not immune from all the crazy stuff going on now. And if they're your protection, well, good luck.
It's a very difficult situation and it's been debated for a long time. And,
Right.
I hope that all the probation officers, all the court officers just stay safe and
Yeah.
hopefully they get enough training and enough
Yeah.
other tools to use that nothing and hopefully nothing ever bad will happen in our courthouse. That's
Well, I
what we
hope so
pray
too.
for or anybody else's.
I hope so too, but I think it's a topic to be studied again. And it the same and the, not my, I'm on my last chapters, but I just think that in the world today, there's mental health issues, there's drug issues, there's all kinds of issues. And I just otherwise they're nothing but glorified security guards. That's my opinion.
It's a difficult situation. It's a
Yeah.
difficult situation. We are living in a different time, that's for sure.
We're gonna
So.
take a break. This lady is fascinating. I am so enjoying this. I hope you are. But more importantly, on November 5th, I hope you vote. Or you've already voted. God knows the city hall's open and the people, there's more. If you don't vote, it's your fault because there's every opportunity in the world to vote. And you know my old saying, I've been saying it for 20 years, don't vote, don't gripe. No, I mean it. First thing I ask people when they complain, like, oh, did you got elected? Did you vote? Oh, no, I didn't have any time. Live with it. We'll be back. We're going to take a short break. This is, and I have to say this, and I know some of you don't like it. You've shared that with me. Some of you very forcefully shared it with me. This is my flag. I have friends who are buried under it. I have acquaintances who are buried under it. And if you drive through a cemetery, you see all these flags fluttering in the wind. At one point in time, the person buried under that flag signed on the dotted line to give their life if they had to for that flag. So you don't have to go along with politics or anything. All I'm asking you to do is to not disrespect that flag. It's a symbol to a lot of other people who, like I said, it pledged their life or gave their life for the flag. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. And also, we're simulcasting on PCTV. We will be right back. Please stay tuned. More to come. Lisa Denault Viale, running for Berkshire County Clerk of the Superior Court. And it's a big job. And if you've been listening, she certainly has the background. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at parksquareproductions.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at berkshiremobilefarmersmarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here with Lisa Denault. Bialy, she is running for the clerk. Head clerk of the Berkshire County Superior Court. She is running unopposed, but I still want you to X the box. It's very important you do that. It really is, whether somebody's unopposed or not. If you've been listening, if you're just joining us, she's eminently qualified. She's an attorney. I didn't hold that against her. Nice person. But she's an attorney. College graduate, in social work, and she also graduated from my alma mater. They're probably more proud of her than they are me, but Berkshire Community College. She's a local person. She's worked for a very long time in the criminal justice system, the big system, probation, courts, clerk, all of the police department, mayor's office. I mean, when we talk about bringing qualifications to the job, this young lady has a lot of qualifications. And, we were talking about a variety of things in the first half, but I'm going to recap because this is a morning show. So some people are just tuning in. Some people are now at work. They're getting so. But the other question I wanted to ask you, do you ever think, and like I said, I've been fortunate, my career has taken me all over the world. Do you ever think that Massachusetts will go to video arraignment?
I can see that happening. Absolutely. And we have done that. We now have a waiver that a physical waiver of presence that the defendant can sign with his or her attorney. And at that time, we can arraign the individual by Zoom. And they actually will appear at the House of Correction or any other correctional facility. Yeah. And we will go through with the whole arraignment at that time. Okay. So it's really great, especially when the court officers we have, you know, we're kind of losing some court officers here and there. I think just like every other job that's out there, that, you know, staffing is always an issue. So this has really been helpful, I think, to the court officers, because we're not bringing individuals over for a 5-minute arraignment. Right. They're actually be able to do it by Zoom. So much more efficient. And I didn't tell you this before, but I do have a master's degree in business administration that I went back for. I went back for after I was in probation in Superior Court. I decided to do that on the weekends. So, but that really has really been beneficial, because it's taught you a lot of things about, you know, being efficient and making things work, using budgets, that sort of thing. So I think that that's been beneficial, because I think that we, when we're at the Superior Court, we think about all those things. What's the most efficient way to do this, that we can get this done without, you know, bringing everybody here, and if it's not necessary. But of course, if a defendant wants to be arraigned at the courthouse, that's their right, and they can do that.
Yeah, and just to an endorsement that you have, powered by the League of Women Voters, and about the Berkshire County clerks and the job of the clerk. And I think, too, and you've made some interesting, I think, statements about stuff. And that is, and I think it's the whole justice system, not just justice and judicial. And we got to catch up. We got to catch up with what's going on in society. So to me, I can remember the first time that there was ever the judges allowed. This was in Texas. Was because it was Aryan Brotherhood guy, and there was all kinds of moving him to court was like moving an army with helicopters and chase cars and forward cars, and the federal judge actually acquiesced and said we could do a video arraignment. It was before Zoom. I don't know what techniques. Listen, I didn't know you could take pictures with a cell phone until 3 years ago. So I think to kind of dovetail on what you were saying, your business degree, I think, will help you analyze what you can digitize, I guess is the proper word, and bring up to speed.
I agree. And I think we did have an older system before that had a big television that we could bring into the courtroom, but it didn't allow for us to have everyone else be in their office or at home or wherever they need to be. So it now with Zoom, this has really been phenomenal, because we are able to, you can have someone at their office at the district attorney's office. They can be at their office at their defense attorney's office. It's really been great. And the judge can be in his or her lobby. We can be in the courtroom and we're recording everything, and it's just perfect. It's really worked out well, really worked out well. And I've been embracing it. I think it's great. So.
Yeah. Well, you are the future. And I mean that kindly and sincerely. And honestly, you are the future. I mean, there has to be. I have to ask this. Who is the Chief Justice there now in the Superior Court?
So in the Superior Court, it's Chief Justice Ricciuti.
Ricciuti.
Yes.
And downstairs?
So Ricciuti is the Chief Justice of the whole Superior Court.
Right.
And then the justices that we have sitting in our court, Judge Agostini has been recalled. We are very fortunate that we have Judge Agostini back. Very level-headed, very respectful, and knowledgeable, criminal and civil. We've been very fortunate. We have a variety of other justices that sit. We have Judge Callen, Judge Mulqueen, Judge Hogan is here this month. Yes. We've had Judge Flannery, the late Judge Flannery, who recently passed unexpectedly. And that is a great loss. I just want to take a minute to say that is a really great loss to the trial court, because He was such a thoughtful and respectful and just always had the patience of a saint and would just listen, and his decisions were so thoughtful. So we're greatly going to miss him. He was a wonderful judge.
And just not to go too far astray, Judge Agostini. I mean, I've read some of, in the Eagle and stuff, but I mean, the same thing. He's a brilliant guy. He's
He is.
absolutely brilliant with the law and just, and he's also, he lives up to the term justice.
Yes.
He,
Yes.
you know, there's, that he just does. When we go forward with the court system as it is, what I do you think, as you and I were saying, or I was saying, I guess I don't want to put the burden on you, but I still believe we have to catch up. I ran a violent youthful offender program, and some of the pre-testing was older than me. And I went to school in Methuselah and Clifton Island. So, but there's like, and I know it's not you entirely, but people in the system will, I believe, will provoke the system to change.
Right. I think that now, there's so many different aspects of the criminal justice system, and it's so much based on rehabilitation and giving people opportunities and chances. And I think that we're trying to get better, recognizing, coming to the root of the issues to try to work through that. And I think we're getting better. I'm hoping that it does, as time goes on, it gets better and better. We still need to be in that other aspect of things too, to hold people accountable.
Accountable. That's right.
Yes.
It's an
So
awfully
it's a
fine
balancing.
balance. Yes.
It is. It's a balancing act. It's a balancing act. And I think that's a lot where, the district attorney's office comes in to try to recognize those issues. And when probation comes in to try to rectify the issues once, it comes to them. So it's definitely a balancing act. And I think people are starting to understand things a little bit better. There's not like it used to be, where you kind of in and out and people didn't spend a lot of time with it. Now I think people are trying to understand, why are you here and what can we do to keep you from not coming back here?
And I say this because you worked in juvenile, so maybe
Yes.
I think you'll appreciate this. I interviewed every individual came in the violent youthful offender program,
Oh, wow.
and I will tell you two things, three things: traumatic brain injury from child abuse, and that it's, you have to test for it. We never tested for it, but until after we generational crime, right? And generational child abuse. Three of the major things that I remember talking with them. And when I oh, here's a not to, I don't want to take your time, but one of the things, we would bring them to the point where they could be paroled,
Okay.
but then we couldn't talk to them again
Oh.
because the only person that could interact with them was the parole officer. Well, some of them built special relationships with staff, and when they hit a bump, they would call. And sometimes I got to check the statute of limitations. I think I'm by it. Sometimes I would just tell the staff member, take the call. And sometimes the parole people would get all upset, but there was a bond. So I think across the system, and you're going to be right in the middle of it.
Yes, and I agree with you. And when I worked at juvenile court, I saw the bond with the juveniles and the probation officers. Some of the juveniles, this was all they really had. The structure in their life was were those probation officers, and they really, a lot of them bonded so well
Yeah.
with each other that that's what makes it work. And it's unfortunate, but it's fortunate in another respect. So, and I can see it, you know, as I was I was juvenile court, then I was a district court probation officer, and then a superior court probation officer. Your probationers, even though you think that they hate you,
right.
I'll just be blunt. They all of them don't. All of them don't. Some of them are looking for you for the guidance and the mentorship. So you have to be tough in some respect, but you also have to be compassionate. And if you're compassionate, you can get through anything with anyone. They're not always going to do exactly what you need them to do because sometimes they just can't.
Yeah. And they're human.
They are. And they're also dealing with other things that, you know, a lot of us don't have to deal with: addictions, broken families,
abuse,
financial issues. Yes.
Trauma.
So exactly. So we just have to be compassionate, but I will say, a lot of the probationers do bond with their probation officers, and they do look to them for their help and their guidance. And we are the last, you know, we're the last part of it. So we have to be mindful of that, and we have to try to help them, you know, the best we can, and you know, understand where they're coming from.
I agree 100%. I mean, like I said, my cousin, I knew Tom Collins, and Dave McNeese, and they tried to bond, and I think that was a critical piece. Some because, and again, I don't want to take your time, but going back, how did you get so hard at 14?
Right.
How did you get so hard at 16? You know, and a philosophical question, or as I like to say, philosophically. I've been against chronological age determining the court system that they'll be in. I think there should be a battery of tests, and I'll tell you why. We did, when we came in, we gave psychosocial tests and all kinds. We found some kids, 14 and 15, psychosocially, they were 28, 29. Come to find out, they were the oldest one in the family, and they were raising the children.
Right.
So are you, I'm sure, saw the same kinds of things.
Some of these kids have lived lives that we couldn't even imagine.
No.
Couldn't even imagine. And it's very sad. Very, very sad. But we have to, you know, just put that aside and realize you have to really take a step back to be open-minded, because what you think a normal 13 or 14 year old is doing at home is maybe not what this 13 or 14 year old is doing at home. So it's kind of sad. And some of these kids have had tough lives, really tough lives.
But that, as I used to tell them, that doesn't excuse you from the crime you committed. Because to make the violent, youthful offender, that was in the penitentiary. So it was serious felonies. But before we have to close, I don't want this to sound like a presidential question. It was just asked one of the candidates. But what will be your focus when you take over? What will be your number one challenge? No, I don't want to say challenge. Your number one initiative. That's the word. It's early. I don't come out, you know.
Well, we're doing so many things, and I've been on the job, so it's a little more difficult because I've already been doing things, myself and Clerk Capeless. So we've already started the ball rolling on anything that we can do that's newer, like with the Zoom and e-filing. We're hoping eventually to get criminal e-filing. Maybe we will be paperless, fileless system, and everything will just be computerized, which would be great. But that is the future to tell. And of course, you know, everything with the trial court is pretty uniform. So we do what, you know, they instruct us to do. And we are definitely not in opposition to anything. We always are open to any new ideas and to make our lives a little easier. But I think the biggest thing is going to be to continue to have a great relationship with the district attorney's office, defense counsel, the bar, the civil attorneys, the sheriff's office. We don't really think about them, but Sheriff Bowler, he's great, but we deal with them a lot because that's our transportation.
Right.
So we're fortunate because we all have such a great working relationship, and we compromise, we figure out if we have an issue, we're able to figure it out and get things done and work with each other to do it. And I just hope to continue those great relationships and to be able to continue to work together. And I'm looking forward to it. And they've all been great. I mean, the district attorney, the sheriff, absolutely great people.
What I see as a civilian now, and I've interviewed them all, the sheriff's been on, the DA's on once a month. I try to have him on once a month, and the chiefs, fire and police in Pittsfield. But what I see is a team has formed.
Yeah.
They're not at loggerheads with each other. A team has formed for the betterment of our society, our community, our county, our cities. And I think the court is an integral part of that, because as these other agencies feed the system in the courthouse, you got to have great working relationships. Go back to Judge Cross. We ever remember him. He was what a wonderful guy he was.
I have heard a lot about him.
Yeah. Kind of, same kind of guy. Smart as a whip, but also compassionate and understanding, but justice had to be done.
Right.
Justice can be, as you know, ministered in many ways. Rehabilitation. I know our DA is for rehabilitating so the person doesn't ever come back. And you made mention of that yourself. There you go. You're trying to make me that.
Yes, I have. My dog is acting up. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we're almost finished.
He did good for a while.
He did very good. I do that to dogs. My first night on the job, I had a rabid dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Very first call.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, I can imagine.
But tell the folks, take as much time as you want. Tell the folks why they should vote for you.
Well, I'm asking that everybody vote for me because I feel like I've deserved this position. I've worked hard. I've started off in the probation department. I've worked my way up. I've gone and done my education that I need to do. Associate's degree, bachelor's degree, required to get to where I am. And I love my job. I'm very fortunate to have learned under some great people and mentors between the chief probation officers and the clerk Capeless right now, who has been there for so long. I've gained a variety of different knowledge and experience in the position that I'm already in. So I believe that this is my next step, and I'm looking forward to being the clerk of courts for Berkshire County and continue the service that we've had all these years. And we're here to help. And if anybody ever has any questions or just needs a little help navigating the system, because it can be a little intimidating sometimes, we are always here. You can call us, you can stop into the office, but we are always willing to do anything that we can. We can't give legal advice, but we do have a great law library upstairs. So if there's anything that you need, you can always head up to the law library. The law librarians are very helpful up there as well.
Now, can I ask you, is the law library open at night? Because I think sometimes I've seen the light on.
They are not open at night. They're open during our regular business hours, but they are there Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. Okay. So if you need any assistance or need they are very helpful.
Very, very, very knowledgeable people. I can't thank you enough for coming on this program. And then I can't thank you enough for running for office.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. This is definitely out of my element. I never thought that I'd be running for office, but unfortunately this is the job, and it's an elected position. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yes, they do. I hate to tell you, you just froze up. But I want to thank you for coming on. I hope it was as painless as possible. And my questions were not too silly.
No.
The best to you. I've got a couple of announcements. You don't have to stay. You can if you'd like. But I like to do these announcements, especially for things that are coming up. And this one I'm really psyched about. If you have to go, feel free, Lisa. But this one, it's Halloween. It's going to be at the Berkshire Athenaeum. For us old people, that's the library. And you can join. It's Thursday, October 31st, 3 to 5 p.m. It's really going to be a good time. The second annual Halloween. Enjoy pizza, candy, crafts, costume contest. There'll also be photo games, photo station, video games, mystery games, all kinds of things. And you could win a $25 Barnes & Noble gift certificate. I would also like you to continue to really support Roots, Raising Roots. It's just kind of funny. It's a grassroots kind of situation, but it's been started out and it's really turned into a magnificent operation for everyone, especially kiddos. The Nutcracker Tea Party, that's going to be Sunday, November the 10th at the Masonic Temple. There's a kind of sparse information on it, but it's sponsored by Albany Berkshire Ballet. If you want to get a hold of them, you can. They're at 116 Fenn Street in Pittsfield and find out more about it. It sounds phenomenal. Roots Rising, again, I can't say enough. This one has a special place in my heart. It really does. The first annual Moon Lodge Veterans Dinner and Resource Fair, November the 9th at 5 p.m. at the Masonic Temple. Now, it's limited seating to 150. For registration information, you can email kkuff33@outlook.com. Again, all lowercase, kkuff33@outlook.com. The meal will be veterans specific, and their significant others. The will be smoked prime rib, deep cut Cajun smoked pork chop, and smoked half a chicken, baked potato, seasoned, and it's by Biggins and Diggins. And if you haven't had any of their food, get there. If you're a veteran, sign up. Thank you all. Have a great day. God bless. And remember, let's lift somebody's load today. Make them smile. Carry some of their burden. We're all in this together, in each other. That's all we have. God bless. Take care. Thank you very much for listening and watching.